All right, let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Revelation, chapter number 19, again. Revelation chapter number 19. Continuing in our study of the book of Revelation. And we haven't got very far in chapter 19. We've only got just a few verses covered. But we've covered a lot of stuff. Amen. And we're discussing quite a bit of things that we find in the Scripture. And tonight we're just going to keep a digging. And we're going to look at the wedding that takes place, the wedding of the Lamb. Well, I guess it was Thursday evening. I preached on who is the bride. I preached this morning on the two righteousnesses. And then tonight I'm going to come back again, Revelation chapter 19, and I'm going to preach on the wedding of the Lamb. So you pray for us. Amen. Pray for me as I do that. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 1, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. The 420 elders and four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the heaven, out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and a voice of mighty thunder, and saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I'll stop reading there for the sake of the message tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I want to thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. I pray, Lord, you illuminate my mind, guard my lips, Father, tonight. Help me to say, Lord, that's needful, necessary. Father, I pray that you'd help us to see the truth in Scripture, the Lord, tonight. Help us, Lord, to glean from Scripture. I pray, God, you just bless the reading and the preaching of your word tonight. Open up our hearts of understanding. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for all that you've done thus far in our study. I pray, God, that we can leave here tonight saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Father, we go out a learned people, Father, with our hands held high and our head held high, Father, understanding, realizing who we are in Christ. And Father, that great day of Christ's return is on its way soon. And I pray, God, you bless now all that's said and done. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' loving, sweet, precious, and holy name I pray. Amen and amen. I want to look at this passage of Scripture tonight and looking at the wedding that's taking place. And we'll look at verse number 7 to begin with. And the Scripture there says, Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. Now this is an exciting time, of course, for the marriage and for the bride and, of course, the bridegroom to be married. Most weddings are usually an exciting time. Amen. Most of them are. There's probably been a few that wasn't. But in most weddings, there's something different in this wedding than what is in most weddings. And that is, most weddings, the bride is the one that gets all the recognition. It's the bride and how pretty she looks and how well her attire is. And the groom just stands over in the closet somewhere. They don't let him out until the time for it to happen. But traditionally, in the Jewish tradition, it's a whole lot different than that. Things done a whole lot different. We'll look at that tonight, the way they do things. And this is more like a Jewish wedding that we're reading about. It's not like our typical wedding that we have here. But what we find is that usually the bride was the one that got all the recognition. But notice verse number 7, the Scripture says, Let's be glad and rejoice and give honor not to the bride, but to him, to the bridegroom. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. So the bride is clothed in fine linen, which we talked about that this morning. It's the righteousness of the saints, that righteousness of salvation and that righteousness of sanctified living. There's two different righteousnesses there that we discussed that this morning. I'm not going to re-preach that again tonight. But godly living is how the bride prepares for the wedding. Amen?
We make up the bride. We are the bride of Christ, and we are to live a godly life. Amen. That's been preached already. I'm not going to preach that again tonight. But we need to live a godly life. Amen. Not just say it, not just think about it, talk about it, but actually do it and practice our faith.
Amen.
Those that were invited to the wedding, those were friends of the bridegroom. We've mentioned that before. And John had said that in the book of John. He said, I am a friend of the bridegroom. And so we look tonight real quickly, if you would, flip to chapter 25 of the book of Matthew. And I want to read this account in the book of Matthew. Just briefly, I'm not going to read the entire thing. But in the book of Matthew, we find that there was a ceremony or a parable. Let me say that is a parable of the ten virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto ten virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, said, Not so, as there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. They that went to, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door shut. The passage of Scripture in the book of Matthew gives us the account, if you would, of the parable there of the ten virgins, which focuses on the typical Jewish wedding, that's a wedding practice that takes place. There's attention on the bridegroom. Verse number 9, the Bible says in Revelation chapter number 19, verse number 9, the Bible says, And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, I want you to understand, first of all, this is not just a redneck thing. This is a Bible thing. This is biblical. It's called supper. Amen. I know some people say breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but that's the world's way of viewing things. Amen. It's called supper. Amen. Now, we don't have to argue about that. We ain't going to argue about that. Mom always called it supper. Amen. God calls it supper. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. But we pick and we carry on a lot of times about what's going to be at the supper. Matter of fact, we did that today at lunch. Brother Wesley had ordered a banana split milkshake. Boy, he was all excited. I said, Boy, that's good. He said, that's probably the best thing I ever had. I said, that's going to be at the marriage supper, isn't it, brother? And he just laughed. You know, we pick, we talk about stuff like that. Banana pudding and fried chicken is going to be at the wedding supper. Amen? Oh, me. Well, we don't know. We don't have no idea what's at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We pick about stuff like that. Some people say, well, there ain't going to be no pork there. There ain't going to be this there. There ain't going to be... Listen, we have no idea what's going to be there. Right. What's on the table is not even mentioned in Scripture. Right. The Bible says, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. They're blessed just to be a part. Amen. Just to be invited to the marriage supper. And he saith unto me, Right, these are the true sayings of God. The Old Testament saints and all the saved and the tribulation saints, all those are the ones that are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now let me borrow your imagination for just a moment. Here they come to the marriage supper. This is a supper that's taking place of the supper of the Lamb. The marriage supper, amen? And here comes all those saints of old. Here comes the patriarchs of the Old Testament. Here comes all the priests and prophets of the Old Testament. And just this, listen, a crowd of people begin to come in. The priests, the scribes, all the saints whose names are not blotted out of the book of life. All of them begin to come in and gather in. There's not one word mentioned on what's on the table. Because the blessings is that they have been invited to the marriage supper. They greet the bride and the groom. Could you imagine such a crowd? They're coming in meeting the bride and the groom. They take their place around this huge table. And everybody's full of joy. And they're blessed of God. Well, what a sight. Amen? What a sight. Could you imagine seeing such a thing? I couldn't imagine. Amen? All I can do is, by faith, read that. And the Bible says that John was so overwhelmed, verse number 10, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, See thou do it not. John was so overwhelmed by what he saw, and he began to fall down to worship the angel that was guiding him. John's not allowed to worship the angel who was narrating the scene. John is, he's not allowed to do that. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is God. Amen. That he is, that Jesus Christ is God because he did not allow himself, or he did allow himself to be worshipped. The angel could not be worshipped because that was not where worship belonged. It didn't belong to the angel, it belonged to Jesus Christ. Amen. And we find that in Scripture, many places in Scripture, and I wrote some of these places down, jotting them, so we can understand. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is God because he allowed himself to be worshipped. The angel said, don't do that, don't worship me, I'm just a fellow servant like you are, but we're to worship Jesus Christ. Worship God, as the Bible says. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says, and when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, fell down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So Jesus allowed himself, of course, to be worshipped. Matthew chapter number 8, verse number 2. The Bible says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Many other passages in the Bible we find in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, chapter 14, verse 33, chapter 15, verse 25, chapter 20, verse 20, chapter 28, verse 9, and verse 17. All in the book of Matthew, where Jesus allowed himself to be worshipped. Mark chapter 5, verse 6. Luke chapter 24, verse 52. John chapter 9, verse 38. I know y'all didn't write all that down because I said it so fast. But I got this on CD, so we're going to move right along. The Bible teaches us, though, that it's idolatry to worship anything or anyone other than the one true and living Jehovah God. Amen. Wesley Pittman this morning, as he began to share his ministry, said that they was able to lead some of the Iranians to the Lord Jesus Christ and proved to them through Scripture that Muhammad and all those false gods was false gods, and there was only one true God. And so we find in the Scripture that God is a jealous God, and there's not to be any worship of anything or anyone outside of the true and living God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 through 5, the Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. He's a jealous God. Amen. We're not to worship anyone but him. Exodus chapter 34, verse 14. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is... let me read that again. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So John had blundered. John had bloopered. John was overwhelmed by what he saw at this marriage supper and this great crowd coming in of bridegroom friends. And such a scene that he saw, he messed up. He bloopered, if you would. And he began to fall into worship that angel, and he corrected him real quickly. Don't worship me, you worship God. Amen? And boy, that's where we need to be at tonight, or today. We need to worship God. Amen. There's a lot of people like to worship the athletics. Amen. The athletic stars. Those that drive the race cars. Those that play ball. Those that play golf. We like to put them on a pedestal and just worship them. Boy, they're the greatest thing in the world. God says, don't put anything before me. Amen. We're not to do that. Therefore, the fact that Jesus Christ accepted worship is indisputable evidence that he is Almighty God. Amen. Now, let me share some things. We're dealing with this thing of the wedding of the Lamb. There are several passages of Scripture dealing with the Jewish culture and dealing with this marriage supper of the Lamb. The marriage of Isaac described in Genesis chapter 24 is typical of the marriage of the Lamb. As we read that account in Genesis chapter 24, we find that Abraham sent his servant to fetch a bride for his son. So the Holy Spirit was sent into the world to call out a bride for Christ. Rebekah was invited to be Isaac's wife. Genesis chapter 24, Verse 58, they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. But I tell you, the Jewish traditional wedding wouldn't go too well in America. Amen. If the mom and dad or the dad, the leaders of the home would go out and choose the bride, for the bridegroom, I don't think that'd go over too well. Most of them would probably say, nope, I ain't going that dude. But that's the Jewish tradition, amen? That's the way they did it. So just that we see that Rebekah was invited to be Isaac's wife, and she accepted that. She said, yes, I'll go, just as sinners are invited to come to Christ. Same principle. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. John chapter 3, verse 16, we all know John 3, 16, amen? Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, in the spirit of the bride say, come, let him that heareth say, come, let him that is athirst come, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So just as Rebekah, was invited to be Isaac's wife, and she accepted, we are invited to be a part of the bride, and it is our choice, it is man's choice, to accept that invitation. Amen? It's our choice to accept that. You can't make yourself saved, amen? Nobody can do that. It's man's choice. And so as Rebekah personally agreed to be Isaac's wife, Genesis 24, 58, so a sinner must accept God's invitation and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They must accept that invitation. Listen, a sinner that does not accept the invitation that God gives cannot be a part of the bride. Amen. Pretty simple stuff. As Rebekah accepted the terms offered to her by faith and believed that in a man she had never seen, so the sinner must accept Christ by faith. You and I are saved by grace through faith, amen, someone we've never saw before. It's only by the eyes of faith that we know there's this real Jesus Christ. It's only by the eyes of faith that we know that God is real, amen. I know He's real because I've seen His work, I've seen His miracles, amen. I know that Jesus Christ is real, I understand that. I know that I've never seen Him, but it's by faith. And this is the way that works with the Jewish wedding. It was by faith that this man existed, someone she had never seen before. She accepted the terms offered to her by faith and believed in a man she had never seen before, so the sinner must do the same. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Though we've never seen him, we still rejoice in knowing that He's real because we believe it by faith. Amen? Amen. The Jewish betrothal, boy, it's hard to get that out. And the wedding was different from that which is common in Western culture and portrays the marriage of the Lamb. There are three parts to the Jewish marriage. Let me give them to you. First of all, there was the engagement. Usually made by the parents when the prospective bride and groom were quite young. The engagement was binding, couldn't change it, except it can only be broken by form of divorce. Any unfaithfulness during the engagement was considered adultery. When the public ceremony was to be performed, the groom would go to the bride's house and claim her for himself. Now, the betrothal stage, meaning that this husband and wife, this bride and groom, were promised to each other, amen, nothing could separate that. Nothing could do to break that engagement except a divorcement that was given, or any unfaithfulness during that engagement would cause that to be considered adultery. Think about that for just a moment. When Joseph was espoused to Mary, that's a betrothal stage. He was espoused to be married, and Mary became pregnant. First thing they thought of was she was unfaithful. She had committed adultery. But that's not so. We know that, amen. According to Scripture, that's not so. But that was where they were in their engagement. They wasn't yet married, amen. They was in the process of that. And Joseph had thought to put her away private. Not to make a public example of her. He thought to put her away. That's when the Holy Spirit came and talked to him. Y'all remember that, the Christmas story. But this is the Jewish wedding. When the public ceremony was to be performed, the groom would go to the bride's house and claim her for himself. Imagine that. He would take her to his home for the wedding supper, and all the guests would join the happy couple. And this feast could last as long as a week. Today the church is engaged in Jesus Christ. And we love Him even though we have not seen Him. Again, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, whom you've not seen. Amen? But yet we still love Him. If we give our affections to the world, the Bible says we are considered adulterers and adulteresses. Most of the time, whenever we read that in the Bible, we think of those that committed the act of sin. And we think of a married couple who has committed adultery. But the Scripture teaches us, as we understand this marriage of the Lamb, and we're to make up the bride of Christ, and we're to live a righteous life. If we go outside of that and do anything outside of those rims of a godly life, we are considered an adulterer or an adulteress. Anything that takes our affections away from Him. James chapter 4 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Amen? So we are espoused to Jesus Christ. Amen? We make up the church makes up the bride of Christ. Our righteousness is our godly living. And if we allow the world to entice us and to draw us away, listen, we are adulterers to Christ. Adulterers and adulteresses. Because we have become a friend of the world. The Bible says if we do such a thing, we have enmity between us and God. So we better be careful with such a thing. Amen. One day, Christ will return and take His bride to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful thing. Listen, as just as the Jewish wedding, the groom would go to the bride's house and claim her for himself. Jesus Christ is coming one day to claim His bride. Now we see that John is seeing that the bride's made herself ready, and the bridegroom's come, hallelujah, and the day has come when the wedding will be performed, and they're going to be united, and the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to take place. The Bible says in John chapter 14, and verse number 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." The bridegroom is preparing a place for the bride. Amen. He's going to His Father's house, and He's making preparation. Verse number 3, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Amen. "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And then we find as we read this in this verse of Scripture, let me just read on down a little bit more. Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, know not whither Thou goest, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." And so we see the bridegroom has made a way, amen, and made a place for the bride. And He's preparing that place, and He's coming to receive the bride, coming to get her, to take her home to glory. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible says there, "And I would have you not be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." The bridegroom is making his way, hallelujah, and he's coming to get the bride. That is tradition, as a Jewish wedding would. The bridegroom would go to the bride's house and claim her for himself. And Jesus Christ has claimed the church. He said, "I'll build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Amen? And He has claimed the church for Himself. So He's coming. The Bible teaches us in the book of Thessalonians to comfort ourselves, comfort one another with these words. Amen? to encourage one another, to exhort one another that Jesus Christ is coming, and we need to be living a godly life and being prepared, amen, for the coming of the bridegroom. We read the account of in Matthew there, the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 had their oils filled with oil, 5 didn't. The sad thing about that is when the bridegroom came, those 5 foolish were left outside. And the Bible says whenever they went to the marriage supper of the Lamb, the door was shut. And so once the door was shut, there's nobody getting in. Amen. Let me say this. That's a closed door to the church age. Once the door is shut, whenever Jesus Christ comes and calls the bride home, the door is shut for the Gentiles to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If they reject Him now, they certainly won't accept Him then. Amen. And so there will come a day when the Lord shuts the door, there'll be no more opportunity for those, Gentiles of the church age to accept Jesus Christ. The church age will be over when Jesus comes. We make up the bride. We've discussed that already. And so we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. At the judgment seat of Christ, her works will be judged and all her spots and blemishes will be removed. When this is completed, the church will be ready to return to earth with her bridegroom at the close of the tribulation to reign with Him in glory. Once the bride, the groom, has made herself ready, the wedding has took place. And listen, we're all seated there. All those guests are seated there. And the wedding takes place. She is judged for her work. She's cleaned up. She's without spot. She was without blemish. She's there to be with the bridegroom. And this, when this is complete, the church will be ready to return to earth with the bridegroom at the close of the tribulation period. Amen? To reign with Him in glory forever. Hallelujah. The Bible goes on to say now, dealing with this marriage of the Lamb, blessed are they which are called into the marriage of the supper. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. If it's any question at all about it, just read the Bible. Amen. God said, these are the true sayings. This is how it's going to be. This is how I'll put it together. And this is how it is. Amen. John says, I fell at the feet to worship Him. He said unto me, see if I do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus Christ, or Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy. Then John goes on to say, after he deals with this wedding, I'm just going to read a little bit of this. I'm not going to elaborate a whole lot on this, but I'm going to come back and touch on the latter part of chapter 19. But we see in verse number 8, it says, and I saw heaven opened and hold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven follow him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Imagine that. There they are again, white and clean, clothed with fine linen. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the thousands that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and all of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both bond and free, both small and great. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them which had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast to light into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat on the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. We understand in reading the latter part of that chapter, and I'll elaborate some more on it, but we understand in reading that those that were left behind, that were not invited, that were not guests at the marriage supper, destruction was coming. Amen? They would be destroyed. The fowls of the air has been invited, called to the great supper of the great God, and listen, to eat their flesh as the kings and the captains and all of the mighty men and horses. And listen, all those men, free and bond, small and great, They was all invited because they had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. They rejected God. And so that's why the Bible says in verse number 9, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, it was a blessing, amen, to be there, to be a part of that, because on the other side of that, if you wasn't at the marriage supper, you was going to be at the last supper, amen. You're going to be at the destruction of time when everything is destroyed. All the armies will be destroyed. The beast was taken, the false prophet, all those received the mark of the beast, and all those was cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with a sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fires were filled with their flesh. That's the end of chapter number 19. I'll come back, as I said, I don't want to spend a lot of time from 11 through 21. I want to deal with that later. But we look at this marriage, and what a blessing it is. There's no wonder verse number 7 says that we're to be glad and rejoice, amen, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. What a blessing, amen. And it's good to be saved, amen. It's good to understand their scripture, understand your Bible, and know that we're saved by the grace of God, and it's the righteousness of God, amen, that has been imputed unto us, and we're to live a righteous life. As I mentioned that this morning in the message, we're to live a righteous and holy life because he's coming in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Nobody knows when he's coming. Man does not know when Jesus Christ is coming. But what a blessing it is to be a part of the bride. Amen? And for those that's not a part of the bride, the Old Testament saints, it's a blessing to them just to be there at the wedding. Amen? Because the result of what's left is going to be destroyed. Amen? It's going to be destroyed. So we're looking forward to the marriage. Amen? Looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus Christ face to face, amen, when he comes to take us home. He's claimed us, amen, and I'm looking forward to the day we get to see him face to face and spend all eternity with him. Hallelujah. What a day that'll be, amen. We'll come back, Lord willing, on Thursday night and look at Revelation 19, verse 11 through 21, and deal with that second coming and deal with some things there in those scriptures. I didn't want to do all that tonight because I knew I wouldn't have time to cover all the bases. So I just want to deal with the marriage of the Lamb. And that's pretty much all I have for you. Amen? And so looking forward to the day when Jesus comes, aren't you?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege you give us tonight, Lord, to be in your house. Thank you for your love. Again, thank you for your...